Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to this part of the service, we pray that you would quiet our hearts. Lord, that you would hide this pastor behind the cross, and that the words that flow forth from my lips might be your words. And Lord, that as the words flow out, they might be an encouragement, that they might help us. Help us in our walk of faith, our walk of trust to you, even when the storms are coming all around us. Thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Last week, I closed the message with the teacup story. And I did that purposely because you are looking at the teacup today. Trust plus faith equals hope. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then over in chapter 18, verse 27, it says, "The things which are impossible with man are possible with God." Faith does not always take us out of the problems. Faith takes you through the problem. Faith does not always take away the pain. Faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith does not always take you out of the storm. Faith gives you calm in the midst of the storm. Forsaking all, I trust him, spells out the word faith. For Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen." And then there's trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust plus faith equals hope. Psalm 71 verse 5. "You alone are my hope, O Lord God. I trust you." This is a sermon that I have lived. Tomorrow, Jenny and I would have been celebrating our 58th wedding anniversary. We were married on September 25th, 1965. If you were to visit Jenny's grave over in Maguanago today, you would find this verse inscribed on her headstone. "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go." Can I explain anything that I am going to share with you this morning? I cannot. But I can tell you this. It is true because I lived it. The story I ended with last Sunday and what I'm about to share with you today, I never shared before until up to this point of where I prepared this message. And I'll be truthful with you, this is not the first time I've preached this message. I've preached this message, and this makes the sixth church I've shared it with. I was afraid to share it because I didn't believe people would believe me. They'd look at me and say, "You're crazy." One morning, the Lord woke me up around 2 o'clock and he had a long, hard talk with me. And he said, Larry, I'm not asking you to do anything different than what I asked my apostles to do. I asked them to share the good news and how I cared for them and how I took care of them. And I told them that some would believe, some would doubt, and others would not believe it at all. But that wasn't their problem. They were commissioned to go spread the good news. I chose you and Jenny to walk this life's pathway of faith for 10 years, 1 month, and 10 days for a purpose. And in those times, I met your need miraculously in ways you never thought humanly possible. And now, I want you to have the courage, the strength to do what I'm asking you to do. So I prepared this message of trusting God completely. Our story. Trust plus faith equals hope. This journey of ours started on a Friday afternoon, March 10th of the year 2006. I was in my office in the hospital at Burlington. And I was working on my computer, and all of a sudden the door flew open, and in came my doctor, Dr. Taylor. And he says, Larry, I need you right now. Come. And he turned around and started going out the door, and I jumped off my chair and ran after him. And I grabbed him by the arm and I said, Dr. Taylor, wait. Who are we going to see? Who am I going to help? He stopped, turned around and looked me square in the eye. And he said, it's your wife, Jenny. We need you. We think she has cancer. I stood there, stunned, not able to move. Thought rose in my mind, oh no, Lord, not again, not another tragedy, not another heartache. I don't think I can take it. I went through this back in 88 when our daughter was killed. No, Lord. They did a biopsy on her breast that day, and it was malignant. No, Lord. We cried. Another burden to bear. Another burden to carry. But Scripture says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. They scheduled surgery for Wednesday. They didn't make her wait. They rushed her in. I had a little influence in that with working there as their chaplain. They did the surgery. They came out and gave us what we thought was good news. She was cancer-free. The doctor suggested that I get her out of Wisconsin into a very warm climate. There was a lady that helped us that ran a travel agent. We were able to go down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for a week. They told us if I could get her into a climate like that, that it would do more than any medicine that they could ever give to her. We started a journey we never dreamed we would be in. But the Lord knew. He was preparing us for a journey without us even knowing it. We enjoyed 3 beautiful days in the sun and the warmth. They said she would improve almost instantly. And what they said was true. She started eating 3 meals a day. She slept through the night. Her demeanor changed. On Saturday morning, unbeknown to us, we were about to embark on a journey that we never anticipated or expected. We never saw it coming. The day started out, it was a beautiful Saturday morning. The sun was shining. There was a breeze. The temperature was around 90 some degrees. We were laying on the beach. We had a late breakfast, a late lunch. We heard people as they were coming back around the beach area talking about this little quaint Mexican town where they had a flea market and they had homemade handcrafted crafts for sale. Jenny looked at me and she smiled. She says, I think I'd like to go find that village. 45 minutes, honey. That's okay. We can do it. That 45-minute journey ended into an hour and a half walk. But what a walk. God was so good. One of the last walks we took together. We took our shoes off. We walked in the water. The waves slapped up on our feet and our legs. We didn't care. We enjoyed it. We got down to the village. And I had had her hand the whole time we were walking. We got into the village. We came to an intersection. And I didn't know which way the flea market was. So I dropped her hand and took a couple steps forward ahead of her. And I no sooner dropped her hand and took those two steps when I heard a blood-curdling scream. And I turned around. And I saw Jenny falling. I went to grab her. I missed. I didn't catch her. But I fell myself. And can you imagine the sight? Here's two Americans sitting in the intersection of a road in a Mexican village, hugging each other and just weeping. What a sight. But people came out of the shops that were around there. They were the friendliest, most kind people you could have ever asked for help. Because of a time schedule, I've got to leave certain aspects out, but I'm giving you the most important facts. Maybe someday I can come back and I can fill in all of everything that transpired. But to make a long story short, that Saturday night, around 6 o'clock, she ended up in a Mexican hospital. How could a day that started out so beautifully end so badly? What a nightmare that was. But God was with us. And even though I did not recognize it at the time, God had promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the earth. And boy, I was at the end of the earth. You ever been in a foreign country where you can't speak their language and you have no idea what they're saying? It's not a good feeling. In the next several hours, we had three different doctors come in to us and give us three different diagnoses. First, her hip was just bruised, no surgery. Less than an hour later, a second doctor came in and said, a slight fracture of the hip, but you still don't need surgery. Another 45 minutes or so passed, a third doctor came in and said, we relooked at the x-rays. There's a major fracture and we'll do surgery on her in the morning. All alone in a foreign country. I felt alone. But God was there with me. I started praying, Lord, what am I going to do? I told the doctors, no surgery here in Mexico. I would take her back to the States. I want the hospital that I'm working at and the doctors that know her to do the surgery. It's now 11:30 on that Saturday night in a foreign country. The embassy, U.S. embassy, is closed. No one there. No one will be there till Monday. But you know what? Thank God his office is never closed. This part of the story may sound very strange to you, but it's the truth. The doctor from the resort that we were at befriended us. We found out later he was a con man, but we trusted him at the time. When he found out I was going to bring Jenny back to the States, he offered to help us get in touch with the air ambulance. Before I go any further, I want to explain one thing. We were not so dumb as to go on a trip like this without taking out medical insurance in case something like this happened. He promised to help us. He said he would contact the air ambulance company that would fly Jenny back to the States. Now we're talking about 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning. And he comes back and he tells us that the representative told him that their company did not want to deal with American insurance companies. And if I wanted this air ambulance company to take Jenny back to the States here, I would have to pay almost $30,000 cash up front. 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning. I got $30,000 in my briefcase back at the resort. No. Lord, where am I going to get any kind of money like that to get Jenny out of Mexico? I'm standing in the lobby of this Mexican hospital. I'm fretting. I'm fuming. I'm at my wits' end. I've got nobody to talk to except God. And in the middle of this deal that I'm having right now, I hear a voice behind me.
Call Discover Card.
I turned around and there was nobody there. Absolutely nobody. I thought, that is the craziest thing I ever thought of. Discover Card's not going to give me $30,000 just like that because I'm calling them. So I wait and I keep on thinking, Lord, there's got to be a way. You got to show me a way. And I would say he let me stay in that situation for about another half hour to 40 minutes. And that same voice, I said, call. I turned around, expected to see someone there. There wasn't. These were two audible voices. I paid attention that time. I got my cell phone out, and I had the 800 number on my Discover card, and I called them. It's about 2 a.m. in the morning now. And, of course, I get a clerk, and that clerk goes to bat for me. She calls me back within an hour, and she says, Larry, go for it. Discover Card will upfront you $30,000 cash. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches through Christ Jesus. That wasn't a want, my friend. It was a need. So I go back to the resort. I pack up all our stuff, get our stuff together, come back to the hospital. I'm sitting in a room at 6 o'clock in the morning. The ambulance is going to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, thinking, okay, Lord, you got this all taken care of. Great. When a security guard walks into her room, and he looked at me and he said, Mr. Williams, come with me. So I got up and followed him. He took me down to another office. He sat me in a chair that had two arms on it, side of it. Came behind me and pinned me in the chair with his hands on my shoulder, pinned me down in the chair. Another man walks in with a manila folder, sits behind the desk, and he says, I understand you're taking your wife out of this hospital in an hour. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He says, no, you're not. He says, you have a $6,200 bill that has to be paid before your wife is going to be allowed to leave this hospital. God, how can it get any worse? I've got to come up with another $6,200 to get her out of this hospital. I can't call Discover Card back and ask them for $6,200 more. Lord, how are you going to work this one out? Oh, he had already worked it out. Again, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Oh, Larry, stop panicking. Remember, just before you left to Mexico, you got a pre-approved Visa card, and you didn't shred it like you did all the other cards. You put it in your wallet. Use it. I grabbed that Visa card out of my wallet and I threw it at the guy. Very not very Christian-like. I apologize. And I yelled at him, "You do what you gotta do, but I'm gonna do what I gotta do, and I am taking my wife out of here." And then I panicked for three reasons. Number one, I never activated the card. Number two, most pre-approved credit cards that are sent in the mail are only worth $1,000. And number three, a $6,200 bill coming out of a foreign country and it's the first charge on that card will never go through. My friend, God already had it worked out. He activated that card. He raised the credit limit on that card and he let that charge go through. No one ever even questioned it. My God shall supply all your need. You see, the Lord had prepared us for this journey way ahead of what we knew. As small as these two little items were, a credit card and a cell phone, was my lifeline of getting Jenny out of that foreign country in less than 24 hours. People have said it's impossible for that to happen without getting the government involved. But they forgot one thing. With God, nothing is impossible. And what men think is impossible is possible with God. And I'm going to have to skip a little bit of this, but we got her back to Burlington, to the hospital, found out that she didn't fall and break her hip. Her hip broke. And she fell because they had not gotten all of the cancer. That cancer had spread, hooked onto the hip bone, ate through the hip bone, and also ate through her pelvis. There was nothing left of her hip and absolutely nothing left of her pelvis. She ended up in Frederick Hospital. She was there a solid month. Dr. King, who was her king, it was her doctor, I would recommend. He was fantastic. And there's a long story on how he became her doctor, and I'll have to skip it again, but God worked that out. And he performed the surgery. And the day that he performed her surgery, he came in that night. And he said, "I did my best, but I can't guarantee she'll ever walk again. She'll be in a wheelchair." And I'll never forget, after he walked out of that room, Jenny was laying in traction in that bed. She looked up at me, and she always had a certain way of a little smirk on her face when she was gotten in trouble. She looked at me, and she says, "That's what he thinks." And God was good. She walked again. She lived for 10 years, 1 month and 10 days. They were a walk of faith. It was a walk of faith journey, those 10 years. And I'd be lying to you if I said it was a piece of cake. It was not. It was hard. It was difficult. Many tears were shed. Many prayers raised. A lot of people helping us. Came around us. We had to learn to swallow our pride and ask for help. The cancer came back every 2 years, 2006, 2008, 2010. Many doctors, many hospital visits. More tests. And then she started to contain fluid in her abdomen area, and she'd have to go every 3 to 4 weeks and have all that fluid drained out of her abdomen. Plus falling and breaking her hip and shoulder again, and they told her she could not have surgery and it would take time to heal. It took 1 year to the date for those bones to heal again. And then yet another fall on October of 2015. Through it all, thank God for His goodness. He was with us all the way. He never left us. The doctors were amazed. They forgot to take into account that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, I want to fast forward it to October of 2016. Just 3 months before Jenny was promoted to heaven. Some of you may find this part of the journey even more unbelievable and incredible. But it's been documented by others, by other individuals who were involved in her care. It was shared at Jenny's funeral. I cannot explain any of it. But believe me, God sent these messages to me. And I believe that someone here today or someone listening over the live stream really needs to hear this. In the fall of 2015, October 20th, I believe, she started talking about wanting to go home. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I want to go home. I want to go home. She wasn't talking about the home in Waterford. She was about talking about going home to be with her Lord. But in February, latter part January, 1st of February, her demeanor changed. She got a smile back on her face. But you see, she had taken herself off of all medication. Everything. No more chemo, no more radiation, no more cancer drugs, everything off. Doctor told me I had 3 months. That's the extent. 12 weeks and she's going to be dead. He forgot God. She lived 2 weeks short of one full year after taking herself off that medication. And her demeanor changed. But in February, 3 months before she passed, she shared something with one of the hospice nurses and ladies that were caring for her, and didn't share it with me for a while after that. She had a vision. She was in a big room, like medical clinics where they have 5, 6, 7 different doctors all sharing one big big waiting room, and everybody sits there and their name's called, and then they're brought to the doctor's office. She was in that room. She described that room as a totally white room. On one wall was 2 big white doors. And a man would come through those 2 big white doors in a white robe. And he had a book in his hand, and it was a white book. And he would open that book and read off a number of names. Those people would get up and follow him through those 2 doors, and then the doors would close. Several hours later, he'd come out again, read the names out of those books. She waited till the end of that day, and her name had not been called. So she goes up to the receptionist and she says, "Why hasn't my name been called?" The receptionist replied, "Your name is not on the list yet." Jenny replied, "Then I'm going home." She came home. The next day she had the same vision. She was in the same waiting room, waited all day. Her name wasn't called. So she just came back home. But there was something different with this time. When she came home, there was an angel sitting on the edge of her bed. And the angel said to her, "Jenny, don't worry. Your name is in the book. But it's not your time yet." In March, she had another vision. This time, she was in a beautiful garden. She was walking down the pathway. It was a paved pathway. She came around this curve, and by the way, she described the garden. It had a beautiful pond. The water was as smooth as glass. The clouds were in the sky. It was blue. The birds were chirping. It was the most beautiful garden she had ever seen in her life. So beautiful, it was hard to describe it to me. And as she came around the curve of this garden, there were 2 angels standing in the pathway. And they said, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. We've just come to ask you a question. What's taking you so long? What's taking you so long?" Jenny replied, "My family." The angel responded and said, "That's fine. That's okay. We just want to let you know that when it's your time, we will be here and we'll walk you through and walk with you down the pathway. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou fear no evil, for thou art with me." She had a smile on her face. Come April, a week before she passed, I was sitting out in the family room. Our bedroom was at the far side of the house. She yelled at me, "Larry, get in here. I need you. I need you." I went running. I came into the bedroom. She was laying in her hospital bed. She had the biggest smile on her face, and her face was just glowing. And she yells at me, "Did you see him? Did you see him? Did you see him?" I said, "Who? Brian and Vale and the grandkids, the dog? They're all gone. There's nobody here." "I'm not talking about them. I'm asking you, did you see Jesus?
Did you see Jesus? I said, no. I said, no. I said, where? We had two big windows going out in our backyard. Jenny wanted to have those windows there. She loved cardinals. She said, Jesus was standing outside my bedroom window right here next to my bed. And he was talking to me. And he gave me a message. Jenny, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. Time to come home. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. One week to the day, she entered heaven's glory. 3 a.m., Wednesday, April 20th, I was sitting on her bedside, rubbing her forehead. Brian and Val were in the kitchen with the hospice nurse filling out all the paperwork. I called Brian back in. I said, Brian, I need you. Well, you see, when she passed away, her whole face was a glowing yellow light, just radiant. And I thought I was seeing things, so I called Brian in, and I said, Brian, what do you see in Mom's face? He says, Dad, her face is a glowing yellow light. And I said, okay, that's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to know. I wanted someone to affirm I was seeing what I was seeing. We had her funeral service. She was buried in Maguanago on April 25th, around 3:30 p.m. We arrived at the Oak Hill Cemetery. We entered the cemetery. And a storm was approaching. You could hear the thunder off in the distance. You could see the clouds coming in. We had a tent over the grave, thank goodness, and there was a torrential downpour that was coming, and it came. And at the close of the committal service, it stopped. And Jenny had requested that she wanted 50 pink balloons to be released into the air at the end of the committal service. We were wondering how this was going to be done with the rain, but it stopped in time. And we were able to get out from underneath the tent and give every person that was around that gravesite, over 50, a pink balloon to release. And as we stood outside the from underneath the tent, there were two humongous thunderclouds coming from each side. They were coming directly towards her grave. And they came together. And as those two humongous clouds came together, they joined. And in the middle of those two clouds, a circle opened up. And the sun shined through that hole of those two clouds. We've got it on video. And it was seeming to tell every one of us that were standing there, in the midst of sorrow and heartache, there is peace and comfort. I'm taking Jenny home, and I will care for her throughout eternity. Now, 3 weeks later after her death, on a Wednesday evening, May 11th, 9:30 at night, I receive a telephone call from a friend that I had known for only 7 months. I performed a funeral for his family and ended up sitting with him and found out he was a born-again Christian. We bonded immediately. He had never met Jenny, never saw a picture of Jenny. And he calls me at 9:30, 3 weeks after Jenny's death. And I picked up the phone and he asks me this question. What color hair did Jenny have? I thought, what in the world are you calling me at 9:30 at night and asking me what color Jenny's hair was? I said, Jenny had the most beautiful red auburn hair that a lady could ever have. I said, that's what I fell in love with when I saw her for the first time. So I told him, and I said, why? Total silence on his side of the phone. I thought we'd been disconnected. And he says, 2 weeks ago, which would have made it a week after Jenny died, I had a vision. I had a vision. Guess what? He described the same identical garden that Jenny had been in earlier, down to the T. But he was a fisherman. The only difference between Jenny and him is Jenny was walking the pathway. He was in a boat fishing in that pond. And he said, the lake was beautiful, the water was clear as glass, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, the white clouds in the sky. And he said, all of a sudden, a lady appeared in my boat along with a fella. And she had reddish brown hair. And he said, the minute that both of those people got in my boat, he said, I recognized you, but you left. And she stayed. So I asked her, who are you? She replied, I'm Jenny. He said, I started arguing with her. You can't be Jenny. Jenny's dead. She's in heaven. She replied, yes, I'm Jenny, and I'm in heaven. And my husband knows it. But I've come to give you a message to give to Larry. Tell him I'm okay. Everything is beautiful here. Everything is great. Jesus loves me and I love Jesus. But tell Larry to keep on living and being used of God. Now remember what I shared with you the morning she died, that her face was a glowing yellow light? Dana said, Larry, one other thing. The whole time she sat in my boat, her face was a glowing yellow light. I had not told him about her face being a glowing yellow light at the time of her death. But he saw the same light. Can I explain any of this? No, I cannot. But I believe it with my heart that God was using all of this to get through to me. That everything was going to be all right, and he was going to continue to use me. Yes, I'm trying to survive, but more important than that is that I'm trusting God. Trust plus faith gives me hope. I do not know what the future holds, but this one thing I know who holds the future. Now fast forward it to one full year after Jenny's death. April 23rd, the year 2017, I was preaching this message at the Chapel on the Hill in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It was one of the first churches I shared this message with. And I was having a very difficult time presenting this message. And after the service was over, as I met the congregation, one lady was standing off to the side of me. And she wouldn't move. She just stood there. She didn't try to get in line to leave. And she stood there till everyone was through the line. Then she walked up to me and she said, "Pastor Larry, I got a question for you. Who are the two women in your life?" And I was taken back. I didn't know what she was asking. She says, "One I recognized as Jenny because you were sharing her story, her life's story of cancer." But then she said something that I never expected. "Who's the teenage girl? Who's the teenage girl?" She said, "You were having a very difficult time preaching that message this morning." I said, "Yes, I was." She said, "There were two women in white robes standing behind you, upholding you the entire time you were preaching." Again, can I explain any of this? No, I cannot. I cannot. But I'm standing before you today telling you every word I have spoken has been the gospel truth. For some reason, God chose Jenny and I to walk this path of faith. Perhaps God's choosing you to walk through the pathway of faith today. You don't understand everything that's happening to you. I don't understand it yet today. I didn't understand it when I was going through it. But God chose me, chose Jenny and I both to walk it. And now he wants me to share it. So I'm sharing it. Some will believe, some will doubt, others will flatly reject it. That's your right. But I'm trusting that with me sharing it this morning, perhaps it could bring some encouragement to someone. If you're walking a journey of faith right now or have gone through some trial recently, remember, God is walking along your side of you, down life's pathway. Footprints in the sand is so true. He sees the whole picture from beginning to end. I believe God picked me up and carried me through from the time Jenny was diagnosed with breast cancer right through her death and then after. So if your journey ends in a different way than what you wanted it to end, and I didn't want it to end the way it did, but God chose it to be. Remember, not every event turns out the way we expected it to end. But in the end, we find out we have a stronger, better life, a stronger faith, a stronger trust that will give us hope to continue our life's journey until God calls us home. We can survive life by trusting God, trust in the Lord with all your heart. By having faith, forsaking all, I trust him, gives us hope for the future that we can survive. Remember, no matter what you face in life, never let go of God's hand. Trust plus faith equals hope. Many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds the future. Faith is not knowing what the future holds. Faith is knowing who holds the future.